Message number 5 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious name of our blessed Savior. We trust that you're enjoying the ministry and the study of God's Word daily through this program. We continue in the first epistle of John, our present study. Today we would read in chapter 1 of 1 John, the last three verses 8 through 10. And may our study and meditation be blessed to every one of our hearts. May the Word of God instruct us according to God's wisdom and in relation to our path as believers in this present scene, and even if you are unsaved, that God may speak to your soul to bring you to Christ. Here are the words, 8 through 10, of 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. In the 8th verse of this chapter, the apostle combats the Gnostic heresy, which believed that we do not have the principle of sin in us. The Gnostics believed that all matter is evil, according to their theory, but the soul is not contaminated by sinful flesh. Well, we do not have the Gnostics with us today in that same capacity as long ago. But this can also be found today under what could be called the heresy of perfectionism and the heresy of the eradication of the totally depraved nature during the earthly life of a Christian, which some believe in. This is a present-day form of teaching in some bodies of Christendom regarding the problem of the indwelling sinful nature. They believe, some, that the sinful nature has been eradicated. But if you will carefully note what John writes, if we say that we have no sin. Now, please note, the word is in the singular, not in the plural, does not say sins, but sin, pointing to the fact that the nature of sin is referred to, not the acts of sin. Therefore, if we say we have no sin, John goes on to state, we deceive ourselves, literally meaning ourselves. We are deceiving. The Christian who believes his evil nature has been completely eradicated is deceiving himself, but no one else. All others can see sin in your experience and in mine, and that sin must come from the indwelling sinful nature. For as long as we Christians are in this mortal body, the sinful nature is in us. And John says the truth is not in such a person who declares that he or she cannot sin. In other words, that person is a liar. As we come to verse 9, John now instructs God's children what to do about sin in their lives, saying, if we confess our sins, John says God is faithful to forgive them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The saint of God, the child of God, is to confess his and her sins. The sinner, unsaved, is commanded to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive by God's grace the forgiveness of his sins. But the confession of sin on the part of a saint or a believer means to say the very same thing that God says about sin. It is to agree with God as to all the implication of that particular sin or sins that may be involved, which have been committed by a believer against the Holy God. It includes in the meaning of the word confess. Now please listen carefully. The word includes not only the confession of that sin, but hatred of that sin, a sense of guilt because of it, as well as contrition, with the determination to put it out of the life. That is what confession of sin means here. The Greek word also suggests that the saint's attitude towards sin should be one of a contrite heart, ever eager to have the Holy Spirit reveal the presence of sin, that it may be put out of the life. For God is always faithful to forgive us. Well, did the psalmist say in verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way of pain or grief in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So we must recognize, we should have the attitude that confession implies towards sin, to put it out of the life. We mentioned in verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses from the sins of omission and ignorance, which may not even be realized by us. But the sins for which confession is required are known sins. They may perhaps and should be infrequent, isolated instances in the life of the believer. For these sins affect the believer's fellowship with God, and the restoration of that fellowship demands the confession for its forgiveness. For such a sin grieves the Father's heart. Communion with the Father is broken, but confession restores that communion. Relationship as a child of God to the Father is never severed. It cannot be, but fellowship with the Father can certainly be interrupted. How important then it is for God's children to recognize that as soon as any act of sin has been committed, immediately we should go to the Father and confess it. Forgiveness will immediately be given, restoration of fellowship will be known, and certainly the believer also will share in the same grief that has wounded the Father's heart by his or her sinning. Now look at the closing verse of our chapter, where John goes on to say, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." In the 8th verse, we found a person who denies possessing the indwelling sinful nature. In verse 10, which we have just read, we find a person who denies specific acts of sin. Now the denial here is of any acts of sin committed in the past time, with the implication that none are able to be committed at the present. Please let me repeat that statement. In verse 10, the denial of specific acts of sin are acts of sin committed in the past time with the implication that they believe none are able to be committed at present. For note the words very carefully, as John has certainly written very carefully these words, reminding us that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This, what we would say, is sinless perfection with a vengeance. And what an astounding claim. That I am unable to commit sins at the present time. John says, that person makes God a liar, and he does not have the word of God within him. A servant of God wrote these words that I would like to quote and pass on to you. For what we are dealing with is the profession, the claim of perfectionism. For I say frankly, we have professing Christians who teach the doctrine of perfectionism, meaning they cannot sin. This is what the writer has stated. Perfectionism has two causes. First, the stifling of the conscience, where the person makes God a liar, and he or she turns a deaf ear to God's voice within our souls. My beloved, when I say, if anyone says that they cannot commit sin, they are truly stifling the voice of conscience, as well as turning a deaf ear to the voice of God. But second, perfectionism also implies ignorance of God's word. Says John, it is not enough. For the delusion of sinless perfection would be impossible to declare if we all have our minds and hearts saturated in the teaching of God's word. God's word does not teach sinless perfection while in the mortal body. Now let us summarize what we have covered in the first chapter of John very briefly. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, and his redeeming death, the believer has been brought into fellowship with God. And what joy that fellowship should be with the Father and with the Son, giving fullness of joy. But then we have been learning how needful it is for the believer to solemnly realize what his and her attitude should be in respect to sin. For the daily walk of the believer is greatly important for the true enjoyment and the true maintenance of happy fellowship with God. The Father and His children, we have stated, is the great subject of the early part of this letter. And for us who are the children of God, members of His family, we have a great responsibility to walk in harmony with the Father's will and to maintain daily within our hearts and lives a fellowship that is unbroken. And when sin may come in, to break that fellowship, immediately that sin should be confessed. And fellowship will be again restored and enjoyed. Father, bless thy truth to the hearts of thy people in a blessed and eternal way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.